Most people, including most Christians, are clueless as to how much demonic influence there is in their lives and in those around them. Virtually clueless. And Satan loves it and takes advantage of it. So what I want to endeavor to do today is to pull back the veil on it the best that I can in the 35 minutes-ish that I have. I got turned on to this whole subject myself immediately after getting saved. I mean, like within a week or two after I got radically saved, I got involved in a church that had a Bible college on the campus. They had just started that year. They were launching it that year. I was literally one of the first students to sign up to their college. Me and all the people in my class, we were the first students. And it turned out they couldn't afford to continue it. It was a satellite college. It was actually coming. It was a fantastic idea. Some guy, he got a vision from the Lord of how to bring the best of the best of the best to Christians, right? How? To get the absolute world's most excellent teacher in the area of finances, the most excellent, the guy who has the greatest revelation in the area of, whatever, spirit, soul, and body, this guy who's the most anointed man in the world in this area, this woman, the most anointed woman in the world in this area, how do you get them to, come to a college when they've got audiences of, 50,000 people? You can't get them to just come teach at your college. Well, this guy, he got a vision from the Lord. And the Lord showed him, bring him, set up a studio, and broadcast it out and set up hundreds of satellites all over the world so that there will literally be hundreds of thousands of students. And then they'll come and they'll teach for those people. And that's what he did. And when I started, I think they had like 100 satellites that kicked off to start it. And so they were able to bring the best of the best. I don't know exactly all what happened behind the scenes, but, I don't know how long it lasted, but it didn't last really long. But I got in on the first year, and I got, for example, this course, which was, I don't remember what it was called. It's like right there on the tip of my tongue, demons and demonology or something, I can't remember, something like that. Anyhow, guess who was my teacher? I don't even know if you will know this name. Lester Summerall. Anybody know him? I mean, this guy is the bomb. He knows the devil's activity like nobody on the planet. Now, he recently passed away. But man, did he serve the Lord in this area, and did he ever give a black eye to the devil while he was here? He went all over the world just casting devils out of people, teaching people how to take their authority over demonic activity, etc. I was raised under him. I mean, every single day, I'm looking at Lester Summerall in the eyes, and he's just teaching me how to deal with this, Well, I got fired up. He taught me my place, my authority over demonic activity, and I'm like, bring it on, baby, So I'm calling out to God, man. God, I want to be used. I want to be you. I'm looking for devils, which, by the way, is not a great way to go. But I'm like looking for devils, And I think you guys have heard this story, and I wasn't intending to get into this, but I'm only 6 months old in the Lord. But this is good. This is really good for you to know this, to know that you can only be 6 months old in the Lord and handle this. And I'm witnessing to people left and right, and I end up witnessing to this girl, leading her to Christ, and then I offered to pick her up and take her to church, and so she said, sure. So, I said, I'll be there on Sunday, and I'll pick you up. Well, the night before, we were talking, and we were in her house, and I was talking to her. She was an old friend. I knew her before I got saved, and so when I got saved, I went around to all my old friends, and I started leading them all to Christ. And so, so I was at her house and I was talking to her, and I realized that she had a demon, a full-on demonic presence in her life. And so I told her about it, and I said, I know what's going on with you in this area of your life. It's demonic. You are what the Bible would call technically demonized. In the NIV, whenever it says demon-possessed, Just put a line through that. That's garbage. It's not even in the Bible. It's not even in the Greek. The word in the Greek is demonized. And it's very different than demon-possessed. If you've accepted Christ, it's impossible to be demon-possessed. However, you can be demonized, which is the Greek word, which means radically influenced by a demonic spirit. You may think that's kind of splitting hairs. No, it's not really splitting hairs. It's a big difference. You are possessed of the Holy Spirit, and he doesn't share his house with nobody. Demon can't come in, but the demon can come on. You still have a body and a soul that has not been taken over by the Holy Spirit. That's our job. That's our life transformation, is to have the Holy Spirit take over, to yield ourselves to him. But do you know you and I can yield ourselves just as much as we can to God? We can yield ourselves to the devil. And that's what happens, is we allow inroads of the enemy, and he comes into our lives. So anyhow, I recognize this in this lady's life. And I'm not just saying because someone's doing something wrong, I don't say you've got a demon. I mean, I recognize a demonic influence in her life. So I told her that, and she's like, well, can you do something about it? And I said, yeah, I can cast that devil out. And she said, all right, let's do it. So I prayed for her. The devil came, I say out. I'm not even exactly clear how that works, if they're like physically in their body or whatever, but I think they are because it causes sickness. But anyhow, that devil came out, and I physically felt that devil because he hit me. Physically hit me. I thought it was like he was trying to go into me, knock me up against the wall that I was standing next to. And she and I both, when the devil came out of her and came into me, it was instantaneous. I mean, we both went boom against the wall, and we both slid down in the hallway. We're both in the hallway. And I just sat there, and I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, it kind of freaked me out. You know, this is like, I'm just getting started, man. I wasn't really expecting that. So anyhow, there was more to that story. I'm trying to cut this short because I really want to get into this. Next morning, so that was Saturday. The next morning, I'm coming by to pick her up, and I pick her up. Well, I get to her house. She's not ready. And she said, hey, I made you breakfast. You can have some breakfast if you haven't eaten. I said, sounds great. I'm hungry, you know. So I go in there, and she brings her little girl down, puts her in the high chair. And then she goes upstairs to finish, you know, getting ready and everything. So I'm sitting here eating, and her little girl's eating. And I look over at the little girl right in the middle of her eating, and the girl goes, ah! And I'm like, I about choked on my French toast. Well, I mean, full on manifested. Tongue came out like 3 inches out of her mouth and just made her face contorted and just like, rah! I was like, oh my gosh, man, just freaked me out. I'm still new at this. Even though I'm saying, God, use me, now here it is, and I'm still new to it, so it kind of freaked me out. And I just ate. I didn't know what to do, and I didn't say a word. She came down the stairs. I'm like, I'm not saying anything. I don't know what to do. I mean, I don't know why I felt like I had the faith yesterday, but I didn't have it this morning. Yeah, I'm still a babe in Christ, man. I'm only 6 months old in the Lord. Well, anyhow, we pack up. We go to the church. We're having church. 2,000 people in this auditorium. Pastor Wiley Tomlinson. I love that man, man. He's just so awesome. He's up there preaching away. We're midway through the service. 2,000 people. Packed out house, right? We are about 3/4 of the way back. And this little girl starts getting all restless in her mom's arms. Like, really restless. To the point where the mom's like, what is going on? And she's like, you know, honey, calm down and everything. And then the little girl starts swearing. I mean, the girl can barely talk. I don't remember exactly how old she was, but however old you are when you can form a couple words here and there. Food, daddy, mommy, whatever. I mean, that kind of stuff. You know, just barely talking. I don't know how detailed I want to get here, but. Yeah. I hate you. I mean, you know, you F and blah, blah, blah. I mean, radical. Man's kind of voice coming out of this girl. Here's how radical it was, just to let you know, I'm not exaggerating. Within about 5 seconds, There wasn't anyone within 30 feet of us. People were tripping over their chairs to get away from us. I'm serious. They were like, ah, everyone's freaking out and just clearing out. And this baby's going, you mar, blah, 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 I hate you. I mean, just like full on manifestation. People are literally falling over their chairs to get away from us. And here we are. It's like a burn path, man. I mean, it's like empty, 30 feet all the way around us. Me, the mom, and this little girl, and she's full on losing it. The mom can't physically hold her. Now she's on the ground, writhing like a snake and going, you know, that stops the whole service. Pastor's up there, he's preaching. And in 2 Corinthians, and he just stops mid-sentence. He sees that clear, he sees that circle, people falling over their chairs, and he hears the baby, and he just comes up to the edge, and he looks at what's going on. And this is going to sound funny, but I mean, he was just like, I'm just not going to let him disturb the service. So he turns to his wife. He said, take care of that. To his wife. She's back on the stage. He said, take care of that. And then he says, so turn with me to 2 Corinthians. And he starts going on because nobody's paying attention to him. He's going to try, but he just goes on. And she comes down the aisle. And these guys have both, man, they've cast devils out. They've dealt with all this and all that. But when his wife got down, she came down the aisle and she's like looking at us. She's checking out the situation. She freaks out. It's just so radical. And she's like, give me your address and your phone number, you know, saying it to the mom. And my heart is coming out of my chest. Boom, 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 boom. I mean, here's this kid. Because the Lord's dealing with me. You've been asking me to deal with this. Deal with it. He's just on me heavy. You've been asking for this. You've been crying out to me every day. You want to do this. Take care of this. And I'm like, Lord, oh my God. My heart's just going. And finally, I'm just like, man up, man. Come on, man up. I just grabbed her, picked her up, put her under my arm like a football, man. And I just said, excuse me. And I went out the aisle and I went down to the back door and I literally karate kicked the back door. It had one of those bars going across it. Bam! And I just kicked the door open because I have to hold this kid with all of my might. I can barely hold on to this, you know, 2.5-year-old girl, whatever she is, man. The power that she had was incredible. So I get outside the church because I just want to get out of the church because it's disturbing the whole church. And I'm like, all right, now what? I get this massive gravel parking lot. And I'm like, now what do I do out here? You know, where do I put her? And I decide to go to my car. So I went to my car, Buick Riviera. So it was nice and big. Managed to get the door open, put her in the back seat. I'm kneeling on the front seat, you know, with my chest against the back of the front seat. And I've got her in the back seat, and she's just losing it and everything. And I'm losing it. I just put up my hand. I'm like, I'm trembling, man. I'm just freaking. And I said, God, you've got to help me. You've got to help me. And when I said that, I physically felt this hot, what felt like hot oil come down over me. I could point onto my body right where it was, going down my head, down my neck, down my shoulders, and down. It just came all over me, and then it was like, dun, dun, dun. I mean, I could, this little pipsqueak demon, man, it was a joke. I'm serious. I was just like, what a joke. In the name of Jesus, come out of her. Just like that. Bam. Over. Amen. Little girl just looked at me. Her hair is matted to her head. She has been perspiring so much from the energy she's been exerting. Her hair's all matted to her head. And she goes, I want my mommy. And I said, okay, it's all right. And I just picked her up, got out of my car. So, I mean, I was just hoping they'd line up people in wheelchairs, man. I'm just still full of faith right now. I could take care of anything. And I walked, and there the mom was standing by the back door of the church. She had come out, but she just stood there. I don't know if she knew where I was, but she just knew what door I came out of. And I took her back, and she could see that she was all right. And I handed her to her mom, and her mom's, you know, holding her. And she's like, you know, freaking out and everything. I said, it's all good, man. We're good. Devil's gone. Well, what had happened was when I cast the devil out of her mom that night before, her little daughter was asleep in the crib in her bedroom down the hall. And that's where the demon went. And I didn't know that until the next morning that I knew exactly where he went. So there's a little bit of a story of dealing with a demon. And I want you to know that I was only 6 months old in the Lord. And here's one point I want to make. We have been given by God, through Jesus Christ, all authority over all the demonic realm. And there is, it doesn't matter if you are the least of all Christians on the earth, you still have just as much power as any other Christian has on the earth over the demonic realm. It's all or nothing. And in this case, it's all. God gave the authority of the demonic realm to the body of Christ. Period. You have it. The problem is most don't know it. They just don't know that they have the authority. And they allow the devil to intimidate them in many areas of their life. When if all you under, if you simply got, if you and I simply got the revelation, if we knew the truth about what's going on in the spirit realm and who has what authority, who has what rights, if we just knew the story, what's real, what's right, all your fear would go away. You would realize, oh, you mean I'm boss? I'm the one that's in control? God in all of his might is backing me up? Then you suddenly realize there's really nothing to be afraid of. And this is what Lester Sumrall knew. And when he got a revelation of, the Lord started using him mightily. And he tells a story one time when, you know, because he went to Tibet and he was going to all these places. There was one place that was considered the seat of Satan itself. That may have been Tibet. I can't remember which one it is, but anyhow. And he walked into a place that no one goes unless you're demon possessed, because you will be the minute you go to this place, because it's just completely under the control of Satan. And he literally goes, he flew there, went straight there, and just started dealing with people and casting devils out, man. He could just go right into the seat of Satan because he understood his place and his authority. Well, as a result, one night, he's laying in bed. He's asleep in the middle of the night, and he feels his bed being shaken, like radically, like up and down, coming up and off the floor and everything. And he wakes up, and he said Satan himself was standing at the foot of his bed. Now, rarely would anyone actually deal with Satan himself. He is not God. He's not omnipresent. Don't get this wrong idea about Satan. He is an angel, a created angel, created being by God. He's not God. He's not in any form God. He was created by God as an angel like all other angels. He had a role in heaven. Anyhow, he's cast out. He's still an angel. He'll never change being an angel. Now, he's a fallen angel, but you know what I'm saying? As far as his class, he's an angel, a created being of God. He's not even in the God class. We are at least in the God class. He's not even in the God class, right? He's just an angel. So don't get this idea that he's like God in the sense of omnipresent, you know, omniscient, knows all things. He doesn't know squat. He's not omnipresent. He can only be in one place at a time. And therefore, I doubt that you are ever going to meet him. He's got bigger fish to fry, all right? It's all his little cohorts that people are dealing with all the time. Now, when I said he doesn't know squat, obviously he does know a lot, but I'm just saying in comparison to God, he's dumber than a box of rocks. I mean, the very thought that he had this idea that maybe I'll be like God. I mean, how dumb can you get? You know, I mean, so he's seriously lacking truth, right? He doesn't understand truth. He lives in deception. He's a liar and is the father of it. Amen. Now, he knows a lot about mankind and how man works. He's had 6,000 years to study us. All right, so he's got a lot down about how to trip us up. Yes. But he's not wise, really. He's just not all that smart, all right? And he overplays his hand all the time. So a lot of times it's really obvious. I'm like, devil, seriously, if you had kept it a little calmer, you might have had me there, but that's just, you know, I'm on to you. So anyhow, Lester Sumrall wakes up and he sees Satan at the end of his bed. I can't remember for sure. I think he said it was Satan, either that or it was just some big demon. But I think he said it was Satan himself, just standing there, just a massive being. And he said, Lester Sumrall woke up and he saw it was him, and he goes, oh, it's just you. And he puts his head back down. Just puts his head back down and goes to sleep. Because he also understood one of Satan's tactics is fear. He tries to get you through fear. Fear opens a door to him. And Lester Summerall's like, I'm not going there. Oh, it's just you, whatever. Close the door on your way out, you know. And just goes back to sleep. That's the attitude really all Christians should have once they understand their place and their authority. All right. So let me just try and cover a couple of things really quick from Scripture now that I've just kind of told you a little bit of story and hopefully that was helpful. But I want you to consider a few things with me. One, that there really is a demonic battle going on. So let's look at a few scriptures. Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 through 12. Now I'm going to try and move really quickly through some scriptures. So I would just encourage you, if you're taking notes, just write down the address, the Bible address, and look it up later. Don't worry about if I don't give you enough time to look it up now. This is an overview. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now he's going to tell you how to be strong in the power of his might, right? How? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the what? The wiles. One translation says the schemes. That Greek word literally means scheming to plan, cunningly, it says. He's scheming. He's literally persistently scheming how to get at you and me. Don't forget that. He is actively scheming. It's the wiles, the trickery, the traps that he's setting for your life and mine. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against these plans of the devil against your life. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This is huge if you get this for your life. Wow, is this liberating, powerful, awesome tool to have for all of the relationships in your life. Satan tries to get inroads into your and my life. Now, I'm going to say Satan a lot, but I'm going to try not to say it. I'm trying to say demons. But just know, whenever I say Satan, I'm just talking about he's the source. He's the root of it. But like I said earlier, chances are you're never going to deal with Satan himself in your life, ever. Ever. You're not going to deal with him. But what you're going to deal with are his little cohorts, you know, the imps, the demons, all right? There are billions of demons in the earth, according to Revelations. We get an insight from Revelations. It doesn't say it definitively, but it's probably the correct interpretation that one-third of God's angels are with Satan. They fell with Satan. And so if that's the case, he's got billions, all right? So, because there's other places in the Old Testament give us an understanding that there are billions of angels that God created in the original. So, if he took a third of them, he's got at least a billion, if not 2 or 3 billion, demons that are all over the earth, right? That's a lot. It's probably just about enough for at least one for everyone. But do you know for every one demon, there are two angels that stayed with God? And God assigns one to every single person when you get saved. If you and I could see into the spirit realm right now, there are as many angels in this room as there are people. They're here. Many, 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 many people have seen them. The Lord opens their eyes. That's called discerning of spirits. The Lord opens their eyes and they see them in the room. It's really a beautiful truth to know. All right, so we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle. We're not fighting. Our struggle is not with flesh and blood. When you find yourself at odds with another person, and you find yourself really getting ticked off at another person, there is a real high probability that there is a demonic influence in that person's life who's ticking you off and or in your life, which is why you're getting ticked off. This is one of the inroads that Satan has that we're, because of the fact we're unaware of satanic activity, people don't even think about this. You know, much of the world is very humanistic in their thinking. And as Christians, we think, yeah, man, that's just so secular. We don't realize most Christians are also very humanistic in their thinking. And what I mean by that is, it's like God and the devil are completely, they're not even part of the equation. Everything goes on in life. Everything goes on in your relationships around you, at your work and all that. Most people aren't even thinking about the spiritual realm and the reality of what's going on. We see everything naturally. Well, this person just said that, and that was just as rude as can be, and that's just reality, man. I see what just happened. I see what that person just did. I see what that person just said. I see my boss's actions and his lifestyle, and it's totally ungodly, and he's just a jerk. She's just a witch, you know. And we just see it just like that, just totally in the natural. We don't even consider, you know, maybe there's actually demonic influence here. Maybe my boss needs my prayer to help him or her. Maybe they're under the influence and I'm the one who has the knowledge of the truth. And if I'm not going to do anything about it, who is? If God's people aren't going to step up and fight the fight of faith, who is? Nobody is the answer. Thank you very much. We need to step up and do our part, which means we need to become spiritually aware of the spiritual realm that's around us. Lord, I lift up my boss to you right now. Maybe you know he's sleeping around with a bunch of women at work or otherwise, or she is just meaner than a snake to everyone on the job or whatever it is. Father, I lift her up to you right now. Father, I pray that whatever it is that's bothering her, Lord, you would just show her your goodness to overcome that. You would flood her with your goodness, Father God. Lord, I pray you would send people into her life, Lord, even now, Father, that would show her your goodness, that would tell her about Jesus. Lord, even people that would just befriend her and just comfort her and help her with whatever it is that's wounded her heart. Lord, I come against the works of the enemy that are assigned against her. Satan, I take authority over you, and all that you are doing in so-and-so's life, I bind you now in the name of Jesus, and I loose the Holy Spirit and ministering spirits to surround her and minister to her and lead her in paths of righteousness. Fight for her. Fight the battle for her. This is called what? Spiritual warfare, that's not the word I was looking for. That's exactly what it is. What intercession. This is intercession. The Lord says in one scripture in the Old Testament, I'm thinking 2 Chronicles, can't remember exactly where, but I know it's the left page, right column, about a quarter of the way down. And he says, I would look for a man to stand in the gap and couldn't find one. And therefore, he brought judgment. God was saying, if someone would just pray for them, I won't even judge them. If someone would just pray for them. And no one stood in the gap to pray. That's an intercessor. He was looking for an intercessor. Someone who stands between God and this person. Or between the devil and this person. God, I pray that you would bring your goodness. Devil, I command you to stop and take your hands off this person. You know why all that is possible? All that may sound crazy. Like, we don't have that ability. God gave the earth to man and the dominion of it. Temporarily, but nonetheless, for now, he gave the dominion of the earth to man. God is not like man. He doesn't take back. He's not an Indian giver. He doesn't take back his deals. When he says, I gave you the keys to the earth, guess what? Who's got the keys? We do. God's not taking it back. It's like the dealer giving you the keys to the car and it's got a 6-year lease on it. When he gives you the keys, assuming he's a righteous dealer and there's a contract in place and he's going to abide by it, when you drive off the lot, man, you can do whatever you want with that car for the next 6 years. You can put gas in it, clean it up, change oil on a regular basis, or you could do nothing. You could put gas in the radiator and water in the tank. You could run it upside a pole if you want. You can never clean it again. Put your dog in there with all of his nails, rip up the leather. You do whatever you want. You're going to pay for it when you take it back at the end of your lease. But nonetheless, during that 6 years, you can do what you want. God leased the earth to man for 6,000 years. Now, where did I get to 6,000 years? That's another whole teaching. But he gave it to us for 6,000 years. We can do what we want with it. But in the meantime, we're in authority. Just like that person would be in authority over the car, we are in authority over the earth. So God is not going to do anything in the earth unless those that he gave the authority to asks him to. That's a whole principle right there that will help you in prayer, to understand prayer and how prayer works. Now, a lot of people talk about the sovereignty of God doctrine, and I 100% believe in the sovereignty of God when you properly understand what the sovereignty of God is. But the way they use sovereignty of God is totally unscriptural. What they mean by many people when they say the sovereignty of God, what they mean is God can do anything he wants, anytime that he wants. Now, I know this sounds really bad to say that's not true, but it's not true. I could say it a different way. It is true. And in his sovereignty, he gave the authority to man in his sovereignty. He didn't have to do that, but he did do it. And because he did it, it's done. Because he's God and he's not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He did it. It's done. He is sovereign. And in his sovereignty, he gave us authority. And he's not taking it back until the end of time. At the end of time, we will enter into eternity again, and Jesus will be given the authority. He'll have authority, once again, for 1,000 years, and then Jesus will hand it over to the Father, and the Father will rule and reign for all of eternity. Previous to that, man has authority. So we dictate what's going to happen in the earth or what's not going to happen in the earth. Well, that's why Jesus said in Matthew 18, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. People, we need to wake up to the reality and get busy with God doing what God wants us to do in the earth. So the main thing I wanted to point out of this verse, not that one, but Ephesians chapter 6, is it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Listen, here's what we do wrestle against. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So you're not wrestling against people. When that person just gets ugly to you, there's a real good chance they're under the influence. Yeah. Guess what? When you and I get ugly, there's a real good chance we're under the influence. Now, it may be purely our flesh, but it may be demonically influenced. They are always looking for an opportunity to move through you or through others. This is why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, that we should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. He says, let us not be ignorant of his devices, right? They were dealing with an unforgiveness towards a person. Paul said, listen, I have forgiven that one, and I encourage you to do the same. Lest Satan should take advantage of us. How? Through unforgiveness. That's what he's talking about. Satan wants to get a hook in you through unforgiveness. He said, no, forgive, let it go, lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. What does he say? This is one of his devices. Unforgiveness. Ignorance is too. So whenever you see that happening, just understand, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. They are not our problem. What do we wrestle against? We wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. What's he doing? He's listing the hierarchy of the demonic realm. He's just listing that. There's a hierarchy there, and he's simply listing the hierarchy. He's saying that's what we wrestle against. And therefore, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against these things. And having done all to stand, stand. And the way we stand against him is by using the word of God against him. When the devil came against Jesus, he was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted of the devil. And it says the devil came at him with all these temptations. What did Jesus do? He quoted the word of God to him in faith. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Okay, that didn't work, the devil says, so he tried something else. And Jesus said, "It is written." And so that didn't work, so the devil tried something else. And Jesus said, "It is written." And the devil, it says, left to find it in a more opportune time. All right, apparently you're not in a good mood today. I'll come back another day. But he never could find another day with Jesus, could he? He left for a more opportune time and never found one. Jesus simply brought the word of God. That is the answer to everything that the devil's doing. You take your authority and you tell the devil to get behind you. You take authority over him with the word of God. You don't say, "Hey, who do you think you are coming against me? I'm going to whatever. Don't you know that I'm the Son of God?" Whatever. That's not going to do it. You got to take the word of God and come against him. And in our case, basically almost every time, really all that is the name of Jesus. Jesus gave us his name. He said, "You can use my name." And so we say, "In the name of Jesus, I take authority over you and I command you to whatever." Whatever you want to command the devil to do, typically it's stop whatever you're doing. Or if they're in someone, get out of that person. You command them to do it, and the devil has to obey you. God's the one backing. Don't think, well, why would he listen to me? Because God's behind you. When you say, "In the name of Jesus," you've got his attention. Because God will back up whatever you say. That's a promise from the Father. So, you know, you may be standing there thinking, "I'm just this little person, and he's this big person." Well, he's looking at what's standing behind you. The creator of the universe and his creator. And he's flexing his muscle. He said, "Are you listening to my daughter? Are you listening to my son? You better, because I'm going to beat your head in." And the devil goes, goes running off because you use the name of Jesus. When you invoke the name of Jesus, you're no longer who he's dealing with. He's dealing with God himself. That's why he has to run. All you need is to know that that's true. When you know it's true, you say it. He knows that you know it. God knows that you know it. God knows the devil knows that you know it. And the devil runs. So, here's another verse just kind of showing that we are in a battle. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. No, I said, did I want that? No, that's not the one I want. Let's go to, Louis. Let's go to Mark 16, verses 15 through 17. Mark 16, verses 15 through 17. And here Jesus says, this is some of Jesus' last words. He's getting ready to leave the earth. So he's going to give very important instructions to his disciples. These are going to be his last instructions. You know, they're obviously going to be very important. And he says, "All right, now listen, I want you to do something. I want you to go into all the world, preach the gospel. As many as believe and are baptized shall be saved. And these signs," he says, "will follow those who believe. In my name," what's the first thing he says they'll do? Cast out devils. Now, if Jesus said, "In my name, you can cast out devils," tell me some things you get out of that. What's something you can learn from that? Do it in his name. You can cast out devils. How about something else that's even more obvious than all of that? Bingo. There are demons. That's what I was looking for. It's so obvious, it'd be real easy to miss it. Guess what? There's demons. Otherwise, he wouldn't tell us you can go out and cast them out, right? So that's the main thing I wanted to pull out of that is, one, you see your authority he gave you over it. These signs will follow who? What's the qualification? Those that believe. You will cast out devils. He doesn't say maybe. You can. Some of them will go. Some of them won't. He says you will cast out devils, period. All right? What would be another one? I have several. I'm trying to decide. I'm just going to leave it there. I mean, I think you all at least believe that there are devils somewhere, right? they're actually operating in the world. All right, so I won't spend any more time on that. Well, I'm hesitating because of time. I'm pretty much out of time. I'm trying to think of a way to make this as helpful as possible with a little time. All right, let me just do this. Let me real quickly, because I think this is important, for this message to be pertinent to your life, for this to be important to you, I think most people feel like, I don't know how important this is to me. I haven't seen anyone show up to my door in a red suit and horns and a pitchfork. So I think I'm good, you know what I mean? I haven't seen the devil in my life. What I really want to, at some point down the road, I'm going to do a more exhaustive teaching on this. I want to prove to you that he is actually daily active in your life. And when you and I wake up to it, then and only then will we really begin to have the victories we want to see in our life. Because what happens is when a Christian is unaware of the demonic influences in his or her life and in the lives of those around them, they are constantly taking two steps forward and one step back, three steps forward, two steps back. The devil, you may be like, I'm walking with God, I love God, I'm reading his word, and I'm praying, and then 5 years later you're saying, why am I not further along than I am? And the reason is you don't even realize how much you're getting tripped up constantly on your way. That relationship that you are angry with this person about, that deception that's constantly going on in your mind, this bitter striving you have with your spouse, the business problems that are happening and you can't seem to, every time you get your six ducks lined up, three more fall off, and then you're trying to put up these ducks and then those ducks fall down, the sickness that you're constantly fighting, on and on, right? You don't even realize it's demonic. You're under attack and you're doing nothing about it. So you're constantly being tripped up. When you become aware of his activities, you can start to address them right in the beginning, right when they're happening, and you can keep your traction going. And you'll find yourself rocking and rolling like way beyond before when you weren't taking authority over the works of the enemy. So it's like the holes in the bucket. You know, you could be putting all the good water into the bucket, but if you got a bunch of holes, you're like, man, why am I not getting the progress? You know, why is this thing not filling up? So it's more than just putting the good in. You also got to stop the bad, right? You got to stop the inroads. The foxes are coming in and spoiling your garden. All right? I'm not sure which analogy to use. I'm mixing them all up. You got a garden in your bucket with holes in it, and now if Peter were up here, he would just be laying down awesome analogy after another. I just mix them up. All right, so let me give you a quick 10 things that the devil does in your life. Just to give you I've kind of spoken to a lot of them, but I'm just going to give them boom, 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 right? It's going to be recorded, so don't worry about not being able to write it down. Here's 10 things I guarantee you Satan has done and or is doing and will do in your and my life. This is his inroads, right? He incites fleshly desires. You think every fleshly desire you have is just your own. And major inroad for the devil. He will cause you to have fleshly desires that aren't even yours. You don't even realize they're not from you. And when you recognize you can take authority over it and stop it, literally in a second, it'll just go. All of a sudden you'll be like, wow, that fleshly desire I had is gone because you took authority, as opposed to just thinking it's you and you got to manage it. No, it's satanic. Not every time, but I'm saying many times it is. Number two, deception through sowing lies in your thinking, your thought processes. This is a major one, and it's on many levels. Jesus said this in John 8:44, you are of your father. He's talking to the Jews. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wow. You understand he's literally the very origin, the source of lies, deception. And he's working that in as many people as he can. He's just sowing lies into their mind. They're thinking wrong. Okay, number three, deception, another form of deception. One is just through wrong thinking. Another one is deception through false doctrine or false gospels, Paul calls it, false teaching, or one big word you could slap over the whole thing, religion. This is why I come against false teaching so heavily all the time, because I recognize it as literally a work of the devil to keep Christians bound up through wrong thinking, condemnation, guilt, law, keep them under the law. I mean, it's just totally of the devil. Deception through false gospels. Number four, how Satan attacks is through physical attacks, both sickness and injury. An interesting insight I got from the Lord probably 20 years ago. This is going to sound really silly. I thought it was silly. Stub my toe one day, slam my finger the next day, stuck a pointed thing right through my hand the day after that. I'm like, I'm a mess. I'm like, what is going on, man? I mean, it was crazy. I was like seriously hurting myself. The Lord spoke to me and told me to come against a demonic attack. I was like, what? This is demonic? And I did, and it was over. I have noticed it a couple times since then when I find myself in injury after injury after injury, boom, 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 like right on top of each other. I know it may seem silly. I'm just passing it on to you. I got it straight from the Lord, and it's real. It's just another. Well, think about it. If he puts sickness on you, what's the difference? He's trying to injure you physically, and he'll do the same thing through injury. So just kind of tuck that away and remember that. I think maybe that'll help somebody. All right, through physical attacks. Number five is through stealing the word out of your heart. Or another way of saying that is preventing revelation knowledge. Mark chapter 4, verses 14 through 17 clearly state that. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately to take the word that was sown in their hearts. He does not want that word to take root where it becomes a revelation to you, because when it becomes a revelation, he knows he can never get that out of you. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said to his disciples, who do men say that I am? They said, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're John the Baptist returned from the dead. And Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Peter grew up with him. You know, Jesus is the guy down the street that worked at Walmart. And now he's going to say, you're the Son of God? I mean, that was not an easy thing to get. You don't get that in the natural. We look at it, we spiritualize the book. We don't understand, we don't think about the fact Peter grew up with Jesus. He knows that's the guy down the street, man. He used to build furniture. And now I'm going to claim that he's the Son of God? Hello, I know his mom. I know his dad. That's impossible. How could he be the Son of God? And yet he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did Jesus say? Blessed are you, Simon Bojonar, for flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Right? He's saying, you didn't get that by the flesh, man. That was totally of God. Which point am I on? Snatching the word. I know, but was this part of five? I know, but how did he snatch the word there? Oh, very good, very good. Thank you, Renee. That's it. Okay, remember I said that he doesn't want revelation to take place in your heart, right? Good. Well, Peter got revelation, right? So he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood is not revealed to you, but my Father in heaven. Boom. He got revelation knowledge. And he said, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Well, most, you know, a lot of people think what that means is he's going to build his church on Peter. That's not what he was saying. He's saying, I'm going to build my church on revelation knowledge. When you get it by the Spirit, by revelation, he's saying the gates of hell won't prevail against that. Now, people think that means the gates of hell can't come against you. When's the last time you saw gates running down the street? They're not coming at you. He's saying you go after them and they won't prevail when you kick the doors of hell open with your revelation. You go in there and you snatch people out of hell and deliver them. Because you've got revelation, you can now start taking territory is what he's saying, and the gates of hell won't prevail. They can't stop you. When you get revelation knowledge, the devil or nobody else can beat, they can't beat it out of you with a ball bat because you got it by the Spirit of God. Well, the devil knows that, and so he doesn't want that to happen. So what happens? As soon as you start getting a word like the one you're getting today, he's going to want to come and steal that word out of your heart. One of the ways he does it is just making sure you don't spend any more time on this revelation. You start thinking, I might want to listen to that message again. No, you don't want to listen to that. Maybe you already heard it once. You're good. Maybe I'll get into the Word and study those scriptures, Brad. No, you heard it. You were good. That's going to take time, by the way. You know, come on. Let's just eat a ding-dong instead. He doesn't want you getting in the Word and getting it to the point where it becomes a revelation for your life, because that'll change your life and you become dangerous to Him. Right? So that's another way. Number seven. Six is what I said. I'm just making sure you're paying attention. Through unforgiveness. We already talked about it a little bit, but nonetheless, unforgiveness. When people do things to you, they lie, blatantly lied about something to you. Imagine that. They cheated you. Or cheated on you. Betrayal. Gossip. Someone gossiped about you and you found out about it. Bad business deals. Someone that just totally did you wrong in business. Ripped you off for a lot of money. These are just one of a thousand things in Satan's tool chest he uses to get something into your heart called unforgiveness. How does he get it in there? He sets a bait. He sets a trap. That trap is called offense. He gets someone to do something that will offend your heart. You're walking down, someone does something, and you put your foot right into it. Snap! It's a bear trap on your foot, and you are stuck in unforgiveness. But they lied to me. But they betrayed me. You don't know what they did to me. Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. You've been trapped. You've been snared by the devil. God commands us to forgive everybody. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. We are to forgive everybody. He said that's in the negative side. The positive side is we are to love everybody. You can't love them while holding judgment against them. God alone is their judge. Take comfort in that. He's got it. The judge hasn't forgotten anything. There's nothing that escapes his attention. Nothing. He's got it handled. He will take care of it. You know what that means? We're set free to just love. We get to just keep loving them. I'm thinking of someone I saw recently who, man, they did all kinds of nasty stuff to me. I saw them recently. And I went up and just gave him a big old bear hug, kissed him right on the cheek. And I meant it. I mean, it was in my heart. I love him. I don't even care. You know what? Here's the thing. I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. This person isn't my problem. This woman said stuff that was just unbelievable about me. I mean, just craziness. And I didn't even do anything. Nothing bad to this person. Nothing. That's satanic. That's the Satan trying to get offense in me. And I'm like, brother, that's not touching me. No, not brother. That is not touching me. I was saying it because I was talking to him. He's not my brother. It's not touching me. Here, watch this, devil. How are you? I love you. I think you're awesome. The devil's like, no, that's not how that was supposed to work. I just love them. They're not my problem. Listen, it's literally the hand puppet, man. Here's a person, right? The devil just puts his hand right up at him and says, ra-ba-ba-ba-ba, ra-ba-ba-ba, and says stuff to you, right? Ra-ba-ba-ba-ba. You see the person, and God says, no, see the hand inside the puppet. See the person behind the person. That is demonic. Yes, exactly. Actually, don't talk to the hand. In this case, don't talk to the hand. Or, yeah, talk to the hand inside the hand, if that's what you mean. Yeah, talk to the hand. That's good, Don. Yes, talk to the hand. Seriously, this is super helpful. But wait a minute. That person attacked someone I love. Man, they had no right. You're still missing the point. They're not the one that attacked them. Yes, they are. I saw them do it. No, you don't understand. If God would pull back the veil and let you see the spiritual realm, you would have seen that spiritual little monkey on that person's back driving them and causing them to do these things. What should you do? Pray for them. Help set them free. Devil, I come against you in the name of Jesus. I command you to take your hands off that person now. Father, I pray you release your goodness. Show them your goodness. What's going to happen? They're going to melt and go, oh, I can't believe I did that. Will you forgive me? And you bring it all together. You bring reconciliation through your prayers. Because what? You're thinking right. You're spiritually minded, not carnally minded. We've got to become spiritually minded. All right, next. Number what?
Seven.
Through anger. Anger's a big, it's like that big speed bump in the road he'll use to trip you up. When you become angry at someone, stop. Get a hold of it and realize, wait. Is this coming out of my spirit? Never. Well, there is one place anger could come. It's called righteous anger. There is a righteous anger. You and I are probably not dealing with that very much, so just forget about that. Stop trying to use that as your excuse. I got righteous anger. That's why I hit him upside the head with my frying pan. Probably not righteous anger. Anger, just know it's a sin. I'm not saying if you get angry, you've just sinned, but if you take certain actions with your anger, that's when you sin. You can be angry and not sin. But basically, right when you took an action with it, you just sinned. So stop it, you and I both. Okay, number eight, finances. Another way the devil attacks us is in the area of finances. Loss of job, car breaking down, business dealings gone wrong, lose money. Why? You think, well, I don't think the devil would actually be attacking my finances. Then why did God say, as a promise, a privilege that comes to the tither alone, and I will, not only will I bless you, but and I will what? Rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Hello? He is very active in attacking your finances. Number nine, your thought life. Didn't I already say that? Okay, I thought I had 10. One's a redundant deal. Forget about that. Forget about it. It is important. Now, that's why I put it in there twice. And maybe that was Holy Ghost led. Okay, I'm trying to see my notes, see if they're actually different. Here, the father of the devil, he's subtle. And then over here, I've got, you got to fight the fight of faith. Yeah, I'm talking about specifically when you're fighting a fight of faith. When you are contending for something in your faith, this is really where I was going with this one. When you're contending for something in your faith, you know, I've decided I'm going to believe God for X. Right? And you pray the prayer, you release your faith, you believe for it. Welcome to the fight of faith. Here comes the devil with all his doubt. You really think that's going to happen? You know that's not going to happen. Every time you pray, nothing happens. Right? And here it comes. You've got to stand on the word, and you've got to fight the fight of faith, which is thought life. Satan will attack that. He will bring every kind of doubt your way to get you off of your faith. Right, so he attacks you in the area of your faith. Maybe we could say it that way. Number 10, sinning in general, just sinning. It's the way that he attacks. He will try and lead you down the path of sin. Satan is always working, trying to lead people into sin. God is always moving and trying to lead you into paths of righteousness. Romans 6:16 says this, know ye not that who you submit yourselves who you, how's it say it? Who you, present your, that's the word I was looking for. Who you present yourselves slaves to obey. You are that one slaves whom you obey. Whether of sin unto death, that's the devil, or of obedience unto righteousness. When you and I sin, we're serving the devil, for he is the author of it. When you and I make the choice to walk in obedience, we are serving God, for he is the author of that righteous act. Anytime we act in sin, it's always of the devil. It's never of God. Just know that. All acts of the flesh, our enemy is an enmity against God. Romans 8, verses 5 through 8 in particular say that very clearly. For he who desires, those who walk in the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. Those who walk after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is peace. For the carnal mind is enmity. It's an enemy of. It's an enmity against God. Why? For it is not subject to the law of God or the word of God or the ways of God. The flesh is not subject to the ways of God. It wants to do its own thing. All right, so I really would like to get more into how to defeat the devil. Let me just say this. I know we've gone kind of long, but man, this is such an awesome truth to have in your life. So how is it possible we have that? We have total authority over the devil, right? Let me just tell you this. This will help you really grasp how's that possible. Well, let me ask you a question. Where did he get the authority in the first place? How did the devil ever get the authority in the first place? Can anyone answer that? Think about it. Huh? A little slower in English. He took it from us. How? Where? He can't just take it. How did he get it?
We subjected ourselves to it.
Boom. Who said that? Boom. Good job, Lewis. Lois. Sorry. That's Lewis. You're Lois. Just in case you guys were confused. We gave it to him through sin. He can't just take it from us. He had to trick us. He came in more cunning than any creature in the field, Genesis 3:1, and he tricked us, and we tripped. Boom, gave him the crown and the keys. So what did God do? He came back and he tricked the devil. The devil, God kind of let him know, this is probably the one you want to kill, right? And the devil's like, I think that's him. I think that's the one. Get him. Let's kill him. And when he killed him, he said, nah, 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 nah. That's what I needed. Jesus paid the price for the sin of man. It says that had the devil known, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known, they didn't know. So Colossians chapter 2, verse, left page, right column, two verses down. What is that? Colossians chapter 2, verses, just try 11 and 12, maybe. Maybe let's do 10 through 12. That'll give me a little, cover a little area. This is so awesome. Survey says, that's not it. Keep going back. However, verse 10 is awesome. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Listen to that. You're complete in him, Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. Yeah, let's keep going. Beware lest anyone cheat you through that. And you are complete in him who is in him you are circumcised. Man. I am going to try and close right here with this. Notice I did say try. Okay, verses 13, 14, and 15. I was just a couple verses short there. All right, very good. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of flesh, that was that position of sin, right? We tripped, we gave it to the devil through sin, and he's got it. It was legitimately that he got it. He has made alive together, having what? Forgiven you of all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. The result of that, him taking the punishment of sin, having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He stripped them of the power and the authority that they had. And then Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19 says this, the end result of that. Jesus paid the price for the sin. In other words, right? Man gave it to him through sin. Jesus came. He paid the price for it. As a result, he stripped the devil of his armament. And it says in verse, what did I say? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. What's the next word? Go. You know what that means? He delegated the authority. All authority has been given unto me. Go. He gave it to us. He delegated the authority. In case you're not 100% convinced that's true, right there, turn to Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, 18, 19, and 20. In the first verse of chapter 10, we won't look at that. We're just going to look at 17 through 20. It says Jesus sent out the 70 to go out and do great things, raise the dead, heal the sick. And it says they came back. Verse 17, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, listen, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And then he says, behold, I give you what? So there it's more plain in case you didn't believe your pastor on the first one. I give you the authority to do what? To trample on serpents and scorpions. That's terminology for demons. And over all. How much is that? All the power of the enemy. And what will be the end result? Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, he says, this is awesome, but I'll tell you what, that's not even worth rejoicing over. I'll tell you what to rejoice over. That's nothing. Here's what you need to rejoice over, that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Woo! We've been given authority by Jesus. He took the authority back from the devil. He gave it to his children. Now, we're the ones in control, and the devil has to obey us. But if you aren't aware of his tactics and you aren't taking authority over him, so quickly let me just say, how do you take authority? It's simply this, in the name of Jesus. You give a command. Give a command in the name of Jesus and he will obey you. He has to. He has no choice. You recognize you're about to get in a fight with your spouse and inside you find yourself saying, I don't even know why I'm so angry. Telltale sign. You're under attack. Stop right there. Grab your spouse's hand and say, let's pray. Let me tell you something. That sounds really good right now. When you're in the middle of that, it's the last thing you want to do. You got to push through that flesh and say, flesh, shut up. Put it under your feet and say, honey, let's pray. Even if you have to do it through gritted teeth, let's pray. You're like the last person I want to pray with right now, but let's just do it anyhow. Don't say that part. Take their hand and do this. Take authority. Satan, in the name of Jesus. No, actually do it in this order. Here's a better order. Submit yourselves to God, James 4:7. Resist the devil and he will flee. This is really what I do all the time in situations like this. Father, I just lift up this situation to you right now. I pray your blessing over me and my friend here or my spouse, whatever. Father, I pray your blessing over us right now. We need your help. Already you're going to feel a crazy change in the atmosphere. Right there, every single time it happens. And then say, devil, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over you and all of your work. I command you to stop your work now in the name of Jesus. Amen. When you open your eyes, you're going to be like, what was I mad about? It will break it like that. You will be shocked at the change that will happen when you do that. All right? So that's just one example. That's how we take authority. You literally make a command. You use the name of Jesus and you make a command on the devil. He has to obey you. Amen. God bless. Woo, seal it. All right, let's seal it through prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that by your Spirit, you would seal this word in our hearts right now so that the enemy cannot steal this seed out of our hearts, but it will take root, it will go deep, and it will grow and produce an oak tree of revelation to us in this area so that we will step up and take our stance and we will cooperate with you in the earth, Lord, doing great exploits in the earth by taking our authority over the works of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for that sealing. We pray a blessing on it now. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. I pray his blessing over you. Thank you for your patience and hanging in there with me this long. God bless you. Have a beautiful week, and see you next week. And don't forget to put it in your calendar, June 21st. It's going to be at High Banks Park, by the way. All the details will come later. Just save the date. All right, ciao. Woo-hoo! Amen.